Jikaze, jikaze. Tujikaze, tujikaze, jikaze. Africa, jikaze, tujikaze, jikaze. America, tujikaze, tujikaze, jikaze.
You are listening to African Father in America podcast by Simon Javan Okelo, live from Seattle, Washington, USA.
Good morning, Grand Rising, Chioma, how are you doing? I'm so excited that you're here, and let me hear your voice for a moment. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little tired. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing well,
you
know.
Are you feeling better?
Yes, yes, yes. Feeling much better and, you know, grateful. Grateful to be alive. Grateful to be, you know, in this space and in this moment with you and everyone else who is, you know, joining us. I'm already live on YouTube and, you know, I'm just happy that you know, we saw today. Yeah, I'm just happy that we saw today. You know, I'm excited about our conversation today. And also, I'm excited to hear, you know, what others have to say. You know, we are going to Mauritius virtually today. So for those who are joining us for the first time, we gather here every morning, Monday to Friday, and we learn new African proverbs every day with the hopes that we gain some African wisdom from these proverbs. And on Wednesdays, we are very lucky that we are joined by Chioma Sherry, who is a, you know, an incredible creative and a writer and someone that I have so much love and respect for. So, you know, Chioma, maybe you just add a little bit about yourself that I may have not asked before we jump into our conversation today. What do you think?
I mean, it's not much to share. I'm just grateful to be here. Like Simon said, I'm a poet, writer, sometimes performer. Currently in Philly. And yeah, I'm like, it's not so much about me. I don't like talking about myself too much.
No problem. And welcome, Sarah, by the way. So, you know, today's proverb is exciting, and I can't wait for the poem that Chioma created to share with us today. Every Wednesday, whenever Chioma joins us, Chioma also, you know, creates a new poem that is inspired by the proverb that we are discussing. So today's proverb from Mauritius says that wait till the hare is in the pot before you talk. Wait until the hare is in the pot before you talk. I want to pin this proverb at the top of the room on Clubhouse so that it can be more accessible to those of us who are joining us in that listening space, and then for those who are watching on YouTube, remember to subscribe to the YouTube channel. You know, I love how we're actually growing the community on our YouTube channel. I don't remember how many subscribers we have, but we are so close to getting to 2,000 subscribers. So thank you all for your continued support. So now I have pinned the link to the YouTube live stream you know, at the top of the room, and I just want to repeat the poem one more time, the proverb one more time. Wait till the hare is in the pot before you talk. And I want to say a few things about this and then invite Chioma to share with us her own perspectives on this proverb. And also, Chioma, if this proverb reminds you of any childhood story, if it reminds you of any particular story, I would love for you to share with us that in a moment as well. And then I want us to talk about Roe versus Wade and really abortion as a human right. You know, currently in the US, it's a very present topic because of the recent, you know, reversal of this, you know, this law here in the US that protected women. And then from there, I want you, our audience members, to engage more and let us hear what you also have to say about this entire conversation. So a couple of things that my team and I prepared for today's conversation. Number one is, you know, patience, this conversation today, really the theme is the power of patience, you know. And we all know stories of legendary individuals like Nelson Mandela, who was in prison for, you know, over two decades, really. And, you know, and the results that that gave his country and gave him as an individual, you know. In Kenya, for me, I always remember the story of Raila Odinga, who is currently vying for the presidential, you know, to become the next Kenyan president, you know, how he's been through so much. And then, you know, we also think about simple people in our own lives, you know, and then you think about yourself, you know, what are some of the things that patience has given you that, you know, that you want to share with, you know, your family, your friends, your community. And these are the three that we gathered today with the hopes that you learn something from it. Number one, being able to wait for what you want without getting angry or frustrated. I see this with my daughters all the time. You know, they're so little, they're still figuring out this power of patience. And sometime, in fact, this weekend, I taught my daughters how to shoot a bow and an arrow, you know? A bow and an arrow. And we made everything from scratch. But shooting it, they see me shooting it just fine. But for them to do it, it took days. And, you know, one of my daughters was getting so frustrated, she almost broke this thing that was so difficult to make. And also, so delicate. It's so, you know, we made it from things that we just got in our backyard. But it was just interesting thinking about her and thinking about this first takeaway from this episode. The second takeaway from this episode is that, and this is one of the powers of patience, being able to control your emotions and stay calm under pressure. That one is no joke, you know, and you have to go through a lot of, you know, a lot of events in your life to really, really master the idea of being calm despite the pressure that you're under. You know, so I would say something like meditation helps, you know, and also something, you know, staying close to nature helps you develop the powers of just being more patient and being calm, because you can't change everything, you know. And then finally, we have the ability to keep going even when things are tough, you know. I think just having people in your circles that encourage you, that you can also open up with about, you know, people who ask you difficult questions, you know, people who make you think, you know. Chioma is a really good example of people like that. And with this, you know, few remarks, I want to come to you, Chioma, so that we can talk a little bit about your own perspective on this proverb. Again, for the sake of those who are just joining us, the proverb says, wait till the hare is in the pot before you talk. Chioma.
Right, so a few things came to my mind with this proverb. So I'll just go through some of them. So one of the things that came to my mind was just waiting before you start like talking big about something or making definite statements, especially when those things involve like other people. And I also thought of like just the power of like saying things. So like once you speak it, it's sort of like out there in the world, and other people are going to be looking for it or expecting it or hoping on it. And then this like idea of like counting on things, and just like also remembering that like at the end of the day, we really don't have sort of like there's no control over the world. Like we have some control, but like we really don't, you know, like no one really knows tomorrow or what might happen. So sometimes like making promises and saying certain things, we should be sort of like mindful of that. A few Bible verses came to mind. I forget them exactly, but one of them is about sort of like it's sort of like it's better to just like not make a promise. And then another one is like, you know, if you're saying something, just say like no or yes. Like don't try to say all these other stuff because then you're just going to be lying or whatever. So this proverb made me think of sort of like considering sort of like our boundaries when we are speaking. And then this idea of like keeping things to and this was something I used to do. So I guess this will probably like bleed into like the next question you asked me. But this idea of like keeping things to yourself until like due time. And then another thing that came to my mind was this idea of like faith without works is dead. So like when I look at this proverb, it's like wait till the hair is in the pot before you talk. And I feel like putting the hair in the pot is like that sort of like work that you do. And then that talking is then that sort of like that faith and that like the two is needed. Because like just talking something or saying something or even like hoping for something and not like being in motion or like moving towards that thing, it's not gonna make things really happen. And this last part, I guess, is something I guess I pose to like the audience, maybe as like a question or something that like I've thought about. This idea of like manifestation, like versus like this proverb, you know, sort of like what's that line? And maybe I've mentioned it, but like what's that line between, you know, saying a thing to sort of like manifest it, because there's power in like speaking a thing, even when it isn't like, I guess, started. I think there's some sort of power in it. Like it can get you moving. So this idea of like manifestation versus I guess this proverb. So that's what I have right now. Thank you, Simon.
Of course, of course. I love you bringing manifestation as something that this proverb presents, but also I wanted to ask, as I was listening to you, I was it just came to my mind that it's very hard to be patient with good news. People, well, at least myself, sometimes it's easier for me to share good news and not the bad news,
I mean,
because
yeah, that's such a human thing, I feel.
Anyway, I want to welcome everyone who's joining us. My name is Simon Okello. We are here live on YouTube. We are also live on Clubhouse, and we are here for the Daily African Proverbs. And we gather here, we share new African proverbs every Monday to Friday. Next Monday and Tuesday, I'll not be live, by the way. I'm taking those 2 days off to attend to family matters, but it's also a long weekend, a long holiday weekend here in the US, so I will be going out of town. And we are talking about a Mauritius proverb, and this proverb is incredible. It's making us think, it says, wait till the hair is in the pot before you talk. It's talking about patience, look before you leap, or just patience, just knowing that you can't do it all within a day, and we've learned a lot from our special guest, Chioma Cherie, who has shared with us, her perspective on this proverb, her own interpretation. But I think, Choma, we could go through the poem briefly, and then maybe we can talk about a childhood story that the poem and the proverb, just brings up for you. What do you think?
That sounds fine, Simon.
Perfect.
All right. So I guess I'll jump into it. The poem is super short today. Today's piece is a haiku, which is always fun to write, but a haiku is, for those who may not know, it's basically a poem, and it's written 5-7-5. So in total, that's 5-7-5. Can I count? That's like 17 syllables. So the first line is five, the second is seven, and the last is five. All right, so my haiku for this proverb. So the proverb again is wait till the hair's in the pot before you talk. Promises you can't keep. Your mouth shut until the food is almost done. And that is it. I can do it one more time. Promises you can't keep. Your mouth shut until the food is almost done.
I love that. Let's break that poem down just a little, and also, we can relate it a bit to this proverb. I love that, by the way. Promises you can't keep, mouth shut until food is done. But while you're working, it's hard to keep quiet,
Oh, it is. It is. It is. 'Cause like there's I think part of it is hard sometimes when you're working because it's like you might be excited to share, but also there is something about like I think having like another person sort of like know like what's happening or what's cooking because that can also keep you encouraged as well. So I think it's like a mix of a few things. Yeah, that makes it sometimes hard to do that.
Yeah, I love it. Now, Chioma, let's talk about a story, a childhood story that inspires you today, or a childhood story that this proverb or this poem reminds you about. And then from there, we are going to jump into our next conversation around Roe versus Wade.
Okay. So this one, I wouldn't say it reminds me of like a childhood story, or I don't have one off the like top of my head, but like to me, this kind of like reminds me of my now, and particularly with like kids. So I have like a lot of little cousins, and I really try my hardest to be mindful of like the things that I say. And if I'm like saying something or making a promise, because like kids especially, they really hold to that and they really remember that. And like when you fail to keep a promise or fail to show up when you say you would, it really does have an effect on them. And I think it has effects on like anyone, but like I feel like for kids, really, it really does. So I try to be really mindful of those things and like how I say things,
It's
making sure
true,
you know
yeah.
it's not like you know what I'm saying. It's not like definite if I know it can't be that. So yeah, this proverb really makes me think of that, especially.
Yeah, it's true, it's true. Never promise my last born cake or candy. She'll remind you. She'll remind you every 15 minutes,
No, they remember, they will not forget. Even it, like if you say it one time, like oh my goodness, just once. That's all you need. They only need to hear it one time and they'll remember it. But like to me too, like I was a child like that. Like if you said something to me, like I will remember it. And like when you did not keep that, like that really does have an effect on a child. So that's kind of like what it made me think of. So in some ways it did remind me of my childhood a little bit because there were times people did not keep to their words. So
Yeah, I love that. And also, I think while we also mind what we promise or what we say, there are things that we say indirectly, and also there are things that our children consume when they overhear us engaging with other people. For example, Last night I had to explain something to all three of my daughters where I had a friend who someone was treating poorly, and so they sent me a voice note, and I didn't know that the voice note would play out loudly. We were at the dining table with my daughters and we were eating something, so I played the voice note in my ears like this, and then it was too loud that they heard a few cuss words and how that guy was frustrated by this other person. And so the thing that they picked up though was that that guy was asking, you need to fight for me, you need to respond to them and advocate for me. And so they all say at the same time, are you going to advocate for him? So it's interesting how, you know, even though you might not want to do what you say or what you're being told to do, or you might feel that you need to make an adult decision, they always default to supporting the downtrodden, you know, this supporting the disadvantaged and disadvantaged. And I just feel that the consciousness of children is just so pure that when you don't keep a promise to them, it's just it stick with you. It sticks with you. It haunts you, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, you know, I'm just grateful for this time that we're having together, Chioma. I want to welcome Jay, and I also see in the audience we have Sabri and Lema and Sarah and Roger, you know, on the stage. We have, you know, Charles and Kay and Rushi, Steve, you know, so many of our friends and family. And also on YouTube, I really thank you all for being there, you know, joining us over there. I see a beautiful comment here from, I think this is the goddess, who says here that, oh, happy hump day, family. This proverb means so much to me today on many levels. I have made a promise that I can't keep due to international travels, and following up makes me sad this morning and learning. I love how instead of using the letter I, you're using the spelling of the I's, you know. But I didn't fully understand what you're saying. But I do appreciate you. You're always, you know, supportive.
I understood it, Simon.
Tell me more about it.
No, I mean, from what I heard you say, I'm this person, there are like certain promises that this person can't keep currently because they have like, they're traveling a lot, like doing a lot of international travel. So there's probably like some promises that they wanted to keep or do, but that they really can't because of things that have come up. That's what I'm hearing from what you said.
Okay, thank you. I thought I was not making sense. I appreciate.
No, you were.
That's good. That's good. You know, really, when you think about it, and when you think about promises you can't keep, and also today's topic, the power of patience, sometime I think you need to learn also how to forgive yourself, you know? How to forgive yourself and feel good about that process of forgiving yourself. And also, I was talking to my older sister 2 days ago, and, you know, she's always busy and she does great things for the family, for herself, for her business, for the community. And, you know, we were just reflecting. We were taking care of a child in the family who was very sick. So we were just talking about it and just things in general. And she was saying, you know, for me, as long as I do one thing right each day, that's all. That's enough. You know, and I feel that sometime even just that travel, the fact that you travel from one destination to the other safely, that's a win, and you should celebrate that as much as possible. If you're all joining us, my guest as usual every Wednesday is Chioma Sheri, who is an incredible writer and creative. And today Chioma is joining us on Clubhouse and not on YouTube as well. Hopefully next week you will be able to see Chioma. But today you get to engage with me directly, you know. So Chioma, I want you to share with us just your own perspectives when it comes to, you know, this issue of Roe versus Wade. You know, how, what are your thoughts about it? And if you had the power to make things better, you know, what would you do?
Simon, I honestly, I think it's crazy. I think it's disheartening. To me, there's no like good reason for the overturning of Roe versus Wade. You know, regardless of your thoughts of like abortion, because you know, I don't necessarily like abortion. Like, I wouldn't want to get it, but like, I wouldn't overturn it. To me, like, I really see it's just like a it's a step back. Like, I really see Roe versus Wade as like a civil right, and the overturning of this, to me, it's like, what next, you know? What next? And I think people may not be seeing it that way. They may not think that this doesn't affect them. Oh, this is just a women thing or whatever.
Right.
But no, it affects so many.
I need a favor from you. I need you to take us back to what Roe versus Wade is, especially for our audience members who are not in the US, just to paint a picture of what is Roe versus Wade and what happened last week. And then you can continue from where you are, if that's okay.
Okay. All right. Simon, I'm not a historian, so I'm not going to get everything right.
Just say what you know. We might have a historian in the room that can also add.
Right. We probably do. I'm sure we do.
Okay.
I feel like we definitely do for sure. But basically, Roe versus Wade is just basically, it was a law protecting like women's liberty to choose abortion. And it was Roe versus Wade was set up like years ago. So this overturning is like, oh my God, this is like overturning like 50 years. Like, and so I feel like this overturning is like, yo, I remember I was asking a friend, I was like, so how can we like get this back? Like, if it took us 50, like, it took us years to like get it. And now like within like 50 years, it's been overturned. Like, oh my goodness, it could probably take another 50 years for us to get like Roe versus Wade back. But basically Roe versus Wade is, it's basically the, basically protecting women's rights. So like now that Roe versus Wade is like overturned, now it's like pretty much, there's like nothing protecting people living in certain states to have like the right to choose abortion. And so this basically allows like states to kind of like do whatever. And there's like a lot of states that already don't really care for abortion, and that like their laws are gonna be turning quickly if we don't like step up within our states and start fighting. There are some places where it is already like illegal to have an abortion. So like not having that sort of like that law through like the Supreme Court now just like takes away that sort of like protection. So it makes it like even more like dangerous in my opinion, and scary. It's like kind of like leave it to the states. And I mean, if you look at like the history of like civil rights in this country, like leaving things to the states, like it's never been good. You know, there's a lot of states that's been like, you know, attacking people's rights to vote. You know what I mean?
Right.
So having this like overturned, it's like, wow, what really is next? So I don't know. I hope that provides some sort of context. I know we have some historians, so they can probably give you a little more. Really like what I can say to it. It's kind of like weird because like I remember like all my life, like I've, you know, I'd hear Roe versus Wade, Roe versus Wade, Roe versus Wade, Roe versus Wade. And it's just like, it's really crazy. Like when I looked at the news on it, when was it? Like the 24th? I was like, oh my God, this is wild. It's like really wild to think that like Like, just imagine, like, let's say something happened and I needed to like get an abortion, right? Or like I which is never like an easy choice for anyone, right? But it's a choice. If I wanted to get an abortion, like now I could be like arrested for that. A doctor who does a abortion can be arrested. Like, that's crazy. Like, so, my own body. You know what I'm saying? And like, it's really wild. It's really wild because like you look at all these other things that the Supreme Court could be looking at, right? Because people care so much about life, you know, you could be talking about we could be making laws for gun laws, right? Are we doing are we creating like better education for kids? So it's like when people do have these kids, are they going to be able to like support them? Are we creating a society that even makes it possible for kids to even like succeed and live like fully? So it's like this whole even the whole idea of like, oh, it's about protecting babies and things of that nature, just like, okay. So yeah, it's really wild. It's wild. It's scary. So yeah, that's just like my feelings towards it. I feel like there's an agenda in it. I feel yeah, it's just a way to take away autonomy. I feel like it's an act of white supremacy. I feel yeah, I feel like it's really oppressive. And yeah, it's just really scary for women. For a lot of women, like, because I've started hearing even more women like talking more about their stories, like stories of rape, story of this, like, yeah. So not having that sort of protection is, yeah, it's kind of like a slap in the face, I would say, to a lot of women in this country.
Yeah, it is a slap in the face. And I want you to take some notes, Chioma, so that we hear from our friends who are on stage. I want you, our friends who are joining us on YouTube and also on Clubhouse, to take a minute as well and think about everything that Chioma just shared with us. And then, in addition to your own response about this current issue of Roe versus Wade, and also abortion as a human right, what is your own interpretation of this proverb? Share with us, and also let us know where you are joining us from, this big world that we are living in. While America is considered one of the most advanced, democracies in the world, I do think that what happened is quite backward. It's quite backward, and it's also dangerous because it just tells you that if such things, for example, the last few years, there's a good chunk of American people who have been trying to reverse voting rights so that black people and people of color, who are growing in numbers and are becoming the decision, like the deciding block when it comes to elections, so that their rights to vote are also, taken away, basically. So the most advanced country with the most advanced weapons, and the biggest economy, is also the most backward. Things can only be expressed in the way that, that someone like Fela Kuti would put it in music. We need artists who can actually bring this kind of things into the limelight through music. Anyway, I want to hear from you, Kay. I want to hear from you, Steven and Stella, and all of you, our beautiful friends. Share with us what, when you hear this proverb, wait till the hair is in the pot before you talk, and also your own perspectives about our ongoing conversation. So, Kay, I'll pass you the mic. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey everyone. Good morning, afternoon, evening. I'm Kay, and I'm on Abenaki land, commonly known as Vermont. And my interpretation of this a proverb is it's similar to saying there a saying regarding a watched pot never boils, or it's also similar to I think making you can make lemonade with lemons. in some ways, because announcing your plans like really do have an optimum timing component. Like you, if you're trying to deliver a joke, if you deliver the punchline before the setup, you know, you're going to ruin it. And if the rabbit escapes, if the family is not told that you were going to make rabbit stew, the veggie stew might be just as well enjoyed. But if the expectation has been set up, then maybe you won't enjoy. So I think there's a component about managing expectations with this. And then going back to Roe v. Wade, I currently consider our Supreme Court illegitimate. I don't believe this was it's following our Constitution. I think forcing women and girls to be tortured to carry an unwanted pregnancy, which is the case in some states currently because they had trigger laws which came into effect. I feel that is not constitutional. And this is it's also a privacy right that's being violated. These kind of choices are highly private and should be protected. And I think they are protected in our Constitution. And what's interesting about this decision is that the Supreme Court does not, they don't have an army. So states can actually organize and fight against this decision. But a lot of work needs to be done, and the real winners are going to be the lawyers in this. It's going to create a lot of cases to overturn this. But I do think I think it's an illegitimate decision, and I don't consider this court legit. And that's it on that. I found it extremely depressing.
It is,
That
it is.
it's and w women are going to die. Women and girls are going to die because of this confusion, and they're making a horrible decision with this. Thank you again for this room.
Thank you very much, Kay. Yeah, I feel that what if, imagine the states just saying no, and it's I come from Kenya originally. In Kenya, the federal government, has the army. But what you're saying is that in the US, the states have the army, and so the states are the states monopolize violence, so they can use that to protect women. Is that what you're saying, Kay?
No, what I'm saying is that when a Supreme Court makes a decision, it may or may not be supported because there are certain ways of fighting back about this that you can put in place. I think there's already some states that a judge completely decided to neglect this, even though they were one of the trigger states. I unfortunately don't remember the exact state, but a judge made a decision to go against what the Supreme Court had just said and what their state, because they realized it was the wrong decision. So there's certain things that we can do and enforce because we have that the enforcement is outside of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has no jurisdiction for enforcement. They can make the law, but they can't enforce it. So there's work that needs to be done to allow for protection for these women because of this horrible decision, which I think, I think these people should be impeached, actually. And I think there are some moves to try to make that happen as well. I'm not sure if I explained it
You
well,
did,
but
you did, you did. I was wondering because my understanding is this is going to take years, maybe decades, because of what Trump and the Republicans have been doing over the years, to secure the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court is, in its current composition, is very, very pro, conservatives and Republicans here in the U.S. who do not want women to have these rights, and they are likely going to bring back a lot of laws that are not, that basically the US is going to be taken back even further. So what Chioma was saying at the beginning is, what is next? What will come next, you know? So that's a question I'm beginning to ask myself now, and so much, because it seems nothing can be done. But we will wait and learn from you all who are on stage. Stephen, share with us your own perspectives in regards to today's proverb from Mauritius, and also in regards to what you're hearing, what's going on here in America, from where you are, what do you have to say about it?
Thank you, Simon, for having me. Hello, everyone. I'm Steven, joining from Kisumu, Kenya, and I'm happy to be with all of you in this session. Thank you, Chioma, for taking us through this session and through the 1 second proverb that you just shared. Today's proverb is an interesting one, and comes to my mind is...
Steve, I apologize. That poem is an appetizer. It leaves you salivating for more, right?
Yes. That's right. It's a 1 second poem, yeah? So what comes to my mind is a say that similar to today's proverb that goes, do not shout, confirm when there's a catch in your trap before shouting. If you are an hunter, confirm if your trap have really caught something. And if it's something worth shouting for, before you shout, maybe you might lose that catch. And it also reminds us and emphasizes to us the value and the importance of taking baby steps, letting every good thing that we want to achieve manifest gradually, than just rushing into whatever we want to accomplish before it's right time of manifestation. About what is happening in America, from where I am and from my perception with America, I'm kind of in a way disappointed about America, because in Africa, we highly perceive America, and I regard America as highly advanced. And such cases that we are hearing, there are cases that are used to hear only in Africa, with the mentality that we were brought up with, that women have no right, and women are subject to be ruled over. And whatever they are told to do, that is what they should subject to and submit to whatever they've been asked to do. So we are still at a time where a lot of advocacy needs to be done, and a lot of...
Okay, we lost Steve there. Steve was sharing his...
Sorry?
Go ahead, Steve. We lost you there for a few seconds, but carry on.
I to wrap up, I think there's still a lot of advocacy that needs to be done, and awareness to be created for women's rights, because they equally play an important role in our society, just as men and those who are abusing women play. So that is all I have for now, Simon. Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. Thank you, Steve. Stella, how are you? And what are your own perspectives of today's proverb, and also your perspectives in regards to, you know, our conversation with Chioma, especially when it comes to abortion rights for women here in America, and also where you are?
Thank you, Simon. Hello, everyone. This is Stella from Kenya. And I want to thank Chioma, as always. The poems are beautiful. Sorry, I'm having a bad cough. And Shioma, I wanted you to know that I always go to your page on Instagram just to read those poems, just to soothe me. They're so Aww. Beautiful. So
thank you so keep much, going. Stella. Wow, I appreciate You're welcome. That.
You're welcome. So on today's proverb, which talks about, in summary, patience, it reminds me of a lesson that my mom has always taught me. It's something she keeps telling me, especially when we are going through rough times sometimes, that life is not a straight line and it's a zigzag, because some days you're down here, some days you're climbing, some days you're up there, but you every day you have to like keep going. And you have to be patient with yourself. You have to be gentle with yourself. You have to keep forgiving yourself. You have to keep working on yourself. Because if you don't, then you can end up losing it all. So it's a beautiful one, and I really appreciate it. On matters, abortion rights, I think it's sad. And I would just talk about Kenya and in what I practice in the health system, in the healthcare system, is we've come across very sad situations where you see, especially teenagers, dying because they had gone behind in the black streets to procure an abortion, and it didn't go so well, and they ended up bleeding to death. But if it's something that people could have an honest talk about and try to come up with a proper way forward, then we would not end up losing so many lives. Because at the end of the day, if it would be legalized, in my opinion, then people would seek those services in the right way. And we wouldn't be having such deaths. And believe you me, I've seen so many people die. And the sad thing is that they are teenagers. They are young, they are naive, and maybe they were just exploring, and it was maybe peer pressure. And they ended up getting pregnant, and they don't know what to do. So because they're afraid of being judged by the society, their family, their friends, and everyone around, they try to hide and do it in hiding, and they don't get the right services. And unfortunately for them, they end up dying. And then when they die, that's when people realize, oh, we should have done this. So I think people should have an honest talk and come up with a workable way forward so that to me, we save lives. Otherwise, thank you.
Thank you, Stella. I agree completely with what you're saying. Having honest conversations, even right now, when you know, when the law that gives women rights to have an abortion in America has been severely impacted, you know, this is when we also have to deepen these conversations. I agree with that. Debbie, how are you? Can you also share with us your perspectives in regards to today's proverb and the current conversation about abortion rights?
Greetings and appreciation to all. I'm Debbie Berlin, Game Dev Debbie, joining from Maryland near DC. Regarding the discussion, the day after it was announced, I saw that some companies, some employees, announced that they would offer out-of-state travel funds for the employees to get healthcare. And I thought that was a very supportive response on their part, which was appreciated. Regarding the proverb, I like the comparison that has been made to manifesting. And so I agree not to talk about the hair if it's not in the pot. Don't count your carrots until they're cooked or whatnot. I'm a vegan, and so I had to add my seasoning. So how does this proverb to me speak? The value of silence, holding my peace. Let the manifestation stay in my imagination. When it comes to light, it will be in plain sight. Now that's all right. Thank you.
I love that, Debbie. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, you are an element of surprise. You always bring us something special every day. And, you know, I also want to say that, you know, when it comes to, you know, just the way that the current conversation about women's rights is going, you know, it's all just unfortunate, and you know, it just makes even the leadership, the efforts that are being made to have, for example, the current vice president for the U.S. is a lady, and then, you know, it just makes efforts like that not so meaningful. But I appreciate you, Debbie. I want to hear from you, Lavenda, as well. What are your perspectives on the proverb and on the ongoing conversation?
Thank you so much, Simon. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. My name is Lavenda. I'm speaking from Kenya. My thoughts about today's proverb, wait till the hair is in the pot before you talk. I'd like to refer to this saying that goes by, we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. Thank you, Simon. Oh, and I'd also like to invite everyone for our Travel in Africa conversation today on Clubhouse. It's at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 9 p.m. East African Time. Thank you so much, Chioma. It's always nice to learn and hear from you. Asanteni sana.
Thank you so much, sister.
Karibu, asante Lavenda. Let's go to you, brother. What are your own perspectives about, you know, the proverb and the ongoing conversation?
Peace and love, family. It's Brother Earth. I'm calling from the North Carolina Territory. And always, you know, honest to the family for coming forth, expounding upon the wisdom of the ancestors. And what I add to the conversation is, as far as the court case overturning, to a degree, I have mixed feelings about that. And kind of sort of what you were saying, Simon, about, you know, by a woman being a vice president, and then the latest Supreme Court justice, the sister of, but is it Ketanji Brown Jackson being, you know what I mean? And for that to happen on their watch, knowing it's not necessarily all on them, but, you know, they kind of just make you scratch your head. And the biggest reason that I would say I disagree with it is because I feel like, you know, it's an infringement upon the rights. And, the more the government infringe upon the rights of people, you know, the less of the illusion of freedom we get to feel within this so-called system. And it was another point I wanted to make, but as far as going to the proverb, it's two things that made me think of, and it was kind of, oh, hold on, going back to the thing, when Kay was speaking and you asked her, you know, the difference between the state and the federal, Simon, and let me give you this example. For instance, federally, it's illegal, you know, marijuana is illegal on a federal level, but yet it still is legal in the state of California, Washington, and several other places. So in some instances or certain circumstances, the state rights over Trump, the federal rights or federal laws. And going back to the proverb, what I would add and say is, also, it's about managing expectations and things of that nature. Because my aunt used to say, you always want to clean your fish before you catch them. You know, you have to catch the fish before you can clean them. And a lot of times, speaking on things before they happen, we used to say, you know, you talk too early, you'll jinx a thing. And then playing cards, another thing. We used to say, you know, you can't all the time count maybes. And Noble Drew Ali said he didn't speak on a thing until it was done. So in that same energy, a lot of times, you know, allow a thing to be fully manifest before you speak on it, because you never know what could happen and derail your plans or intentions. So I come in love and I leave in peace, Brother Earth.
Thank you so much, Brother Earth, for your contribution as well. I appreciate you deeply. Let's go to you, my brother Rushi. What are your own perspectives on today's proverb? And also, what are your perspectives on the ongoing conversation about abortion rights?
Hello, Simon. Hello. Oyade. Oyade. I would say the proverb, it reminds me of a cartoon I used to watch as a kid, which was Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny, which is a hare, he used to always get chased by Elmer Fudd, the hunter. So he would always try to shoot the rabbit. And as a kid, I wish he would just kill this rabbit so he could hurry up and eat, you know. But that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of that cartoon, how the hunter would always try to catch Bugs Bunny. He would never be able to. But also in relation to that cartoon and the current situation where we're talking about Roe versus Wade, that's kind of how I feel about America. It's like, I feel I'm the hunter and I'm always trying to catch his hare, and it's never, that the hare kind of represents true freedom, you know? It's something that you will never really attain. You have to really be at peace with yourself. Because the 13th Amendment of our Constitution was the amendment that abolished slavery, I believe. That's the one that says slavery is illegal, and also said that any form of slavery or any form of involuntary servitude is illegal. However, Roe versus Wade is overturned, which correlates with that, in my opinion. And that's why when I first read that Roe versus Wade being overturned, I felt a part of me kind of died. I felt very sad. But I also felt that I'm next. You know, that's how I feel. I feel like, what's stopping them from infringing on my rights as a Black man? You know, those are the things that go on in my head. That's how I relate Roe versus Wade to me and my community, but also how I look at this proverb, how it also relates, you know. And this country, the shackles aren't on our wrist anymore. They're on our brains. The shackles are on our spirit. And we just have to find ways to get those shackles off of us. By any means necessary, that's how I feel. But hopefully, this Roe versus Wade, I know it's not a good thing at all. And hopefully there's some type of, I don't know what's next, but I don't want to find out. The way it's going, I don't know. But that's all I have to add. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, sometime, there's a saying in Luo, in my mother tongue, that if you knew what the chicken eats, you'd never eat the chicken, you know? That's if you knew what's coming next, you'd never want to live in America. You'd probably take off immediately, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I appreciate you for your contribution today. I want to check in with Chioma briefly. Chioma, how is your timing? Do you have another 10 minutes to help us wrap this up?
Yeah, I can do it.
Perfect. Thank you. Kay, how are you doing today? What are your own perspectives in regards to today's proverb and the conversation we're having around abortion rights?
Hello, Simon. Hello, everybody. I'm Kay Benjamin, and I'm in Atlanta now. As far as it's offensive, it's painful for me to even be in this position. First of all, we talk about what the Supreme Court is doing now. I'm trying to remember if I was in high school or college, probably college, but I remembered I wrote a paper about, it must have been when Roe versus Wade was first coming to, I remember, and I can't remember what my opinion was then, but now I feel that we have taken a medical situation and put it in hands where it should not be, and actually have us discussing who should have this control, whether it's the federal or the state, when really it's an individual decision. So, but we know that we're in a culture that tries to control, and we have to be mindful of what it does to be put in this position to fight for something that you really don't want anybody to go through, but just to have you, it's painful. Even I heard a lot of my thoughts resonate with the brother who spoke right before me, and also I could feel the pain of one of the women who was talking about it. And I think we need to be cognizant that these things affect you in your spirit, in your mind, and the body. And most of the time in this culture, we just deal with things in the body. So I'll let that go. As far as being patient, that was a good one for me. One of the things about patience, number one, with these proverbs, you have to know who you are. And then that's the proverb is going to resonate for me on who I am right now. And I think I used to interpret patience as waiting, but it's more than waiting. It's waiting with a calmness. It's waiting with a knowingness. It's waiting with a knowingness and being able to go forward. I moved here from California, where I had a very lucrative career in acting, and came here to Atlanta, and it was going, you know, fine for a while, and now it's not. And I went through the meltdown. I never quite got to questioning my talent. But it was a very bad experience in my waiting. And I have gotten to the point where, and I was feeding that negative energy. And so now I don't concern myself with things I have no control over. And I have my own agenda. My agenda is not just to get a job. I'm in the position where I don't have to worry about that in terms of being able to take care of myself. But it is, again, I will go into auditions where I'm reading for a person who has not experienced being a Black grandmother. And it's from their perception, and it's often for a race that is different than mine. And so for a while I was doing what I knew, what my truth was, but I now consider I need to also be cognizant of their truth, because it is a truth, even if it is not mine. And in my audition, maybe I can also add my truth, but if they don't hear their truth, I don't have a job, and I have to focus on my purpose. So as far as the Roe versus Wade, I feel like there's something about shutting the door of the barn after the horse is out or something like that. I think that's what's going on with that, that the approach from the very beginning, it shouldn't have even been in their hands. This is a medical decision. And of course, everything is a spiritual decision too, but that's not their venue. So thank you for letting me vent.
No problem. You know, as you're speaking and also bringing up the angle that it's a medical decision, it also reminds me, and also you spoke about a spiritual, decision and how it impacts people spiritually and the trauma it leaves people with, just even discussing it. It reminds me of, how the government and the law is really infringing on a very, very core aspect of creation, birthing process. This is something that is very, very pure, that does not even need to be a matter of public debate, because if the people who are birthing and bringing life to this world, if they're already traumatizing just thinking about it, it's not good. I think this is the way that the capitalistic system controls the world through trauma and fear and propaganda and using the justice system or the courts to keep people, especially women, under control. And women are like the heads of the world, and then once the women are traumatized, the neck and the rest of the body cannot function. So that's something that just came up for me. I want to come to you, Jay, before we wrap up. This has been really an incredible conversation. If you're joining us, my name is Simon Okello. I am live actually right now on YouTube. So thank you for joining me over there. And also, we are here on Clubhouse. If you haven't followed the club, we would appreciate if you did that now. And also nominate, 3 to 5 people to join the club. That's African Father in America Club at the top of the screen on Clubhouse. And also subscribe to the YouTube channel. The link is right at the top of the Clubhouse room. Jay, how are you doing? Share with us your perspectives as well on this proverb and also on the ongoing conversation around abortion rights.
Well, thank you, dear brother, and everyone in the room. I'll keep it really short, sweet, and simple because I know we're after 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. I'm in Seattle. Regarding the proverb, the first thing that came to mind, and I kind of like brother's interpretation to an extent because he always goes deep to his roots, his upbringing, what he learned and heard from his elders. And the first thing that comes to mind for me is, don't count your chickens before they hatch. And it's about, being careful and using wisdom and not being willing to be arrogant before you've actually accomplished your goal, because you could easily be embarrassed when you do that, and then you don't even accomplish your goal. Then regarding the Supreme Court ruling Roe versus Wade, I don't let too much upset me when I am powerless to do anything about it. And from my perspective only, that it has to do with not just controlling women in general, but it's controlling the poor, poor women. And because the ones that have money, and I agree with brother also, state to state to state, just like marijuana, state to state, and it's fickled. Our Supreme Court is fickled. If you have a more liberal Supreme Court, you're going to upset, and laws are made, it's going to upset those that are more conservative. Now that we have a more conservative Supreme Court, laws that are made are going to upset those that are more liberal in terms of their thinking and their perspective. So it's a fickle Supreme Court, and this could have been anticipated, and probably from many circles it was anticipated. So because it is state to state, and someone did mention some companies have, you know, are willing to fly women to states where it is legal and totally legal. But for me, you don't need to do all that. That's just me. You don't need to do all that. Take your money. I mean, if you really are anti what these states are doing, you will just simply take your business out of those states. That's what you'll do. You'll squeeze them financially. So that's not even a band-aid by doing that. And even then, there's some favoritism that's going to be shown. So if you are, these companies, corporations, businesses are truly serious about that, that they're honestly upset, angered by it, you'll take your business out of those states. I'm concerned, for one, the favoritism, two, women with means have always had the ability to get abortions, even when it was definitely illegal. And women without the resources could not. And that's going to continue to be the same situation. And that in states that are so hardcore about it, it is horribly problematic for women who are impregnated because of incest, women who are impregnated because of rape, women whose lives are at stake. And this is just stuff, you know, this bouncing around. Nothing has really landed yet on what's going to happen because it's still real fresh. But for women whose lives are at stake, even then, in some states, I'm hearing through the grapevine, the media grapevine, but it may not be accurate. When the women's lives are at stake, they still can't get an abortion. So I don't get too excited about things until the hair is in the pocket, the dust is settled, because I'm powerless to do anything about it. But I agree with Simon, what you're saying is that there's this constant disruption and that you don't see the forest because you're constantly disrupted. So it's kind of, it's keeping us from seeing what's really going on overall, what's really the overall intent, because we're constantly being disrupted. This is Jay, and I'm done speaking. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate you deeply. Chioma, share with us your reflections on everything you heard our guests who are also contributing to this conversation share. I know that you have to run, so I'll pass you the floor. I have just a couple of thoughts in closing too that are based on what Jay shared, and I'm just grateful that you made the time today, Chioma.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. I'm just gonna quickly run through some things that stood out to me that people have said in terms of the proverb. Kay said, announcing your plans have an optimal timing component and managing expectations. Stephen said, value in the importance of baby steps, letting things manifest gradually, really like that. Stella, you said, life is not a straight line, it's a zigzag, and mentioned being patient with yourself. Debbie, from your poem, the line that kind of stuck out to me is, when it comes to light, it will be in plain sight. Lavender, you said we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. Brother, you said you have to catch the fish before you can clean them, and also mentioned managing expectations. Rushi, just some things that you said that I liked. You said sort of like where the hunter and the hare is sort of truth and freedom, and just like how you connected the proverb to like kind of like what's going on today. And then you said like a line that kind of like hit me. You said the shackles are like no longer on our feet. They are on our brains and our spirits. Kay, you said patience is waiting with calmness and with knowingness and being able to go forward. And I just really like that look of patience isn't, or like waiting isn't necessarily just like sitting there. You also mentioned like to not concern yourself with things you don't have control over. And Jay, you said don't count your chickens before they hatch. So just being like mindful not to be arrogant, and just making sure we're moving carefully and with wisdom. So thank you all for your shares today. I'm complete.
Thank you. Thank you, Chiomo. You know, I wanted to say that in the era of social media, sharing, you know, counting your eggs before they hatch is actually, you know, valuable. And also, coming from an event production perspective, I feel that you have to leverage everything in the process of, let's say now I'm producing Madaraka Festival, August 13th and 14th. Once an artist confirms, you have to announce it to the community and let them know, hey, you have to RSVP, Chioma is performing, Jay is performing, Davey is performing, you know. So we are living in a world of leverage, and we are living in a world where we do instant storytelling. But what this proverb is teaching us is really the opposite of that. So how to find a balance, I think, has been a theme that I'm going to take away personally from today's conversation. And also, I wanted to add, based on what Rushi said, when you think about the shackles are also in our foods, you know, the shackles are, you know, in the media that we consume, you know. That's why I value the daily African proverbs and the content and the media we create out of this time that we're having together for the daily African proverbs, you know, because this is how to unshackle yourself, you know. So I truly appreciate you, Chioma. I want you to share with us how we can support you. Where can everyone that is here right now go in order to support your incredible work? Chioma, I'll probably just let everyone know that you can go to Chioma's Instagram page and follow and engage with some of her content there. That's one way that I would suggest. And if you go to her profile on Clubhouse, you'll be able to get the direct link to her profile. With that, we are wrapping up our time together today. Thank you all so much. Have a beautiful day and see you tomorrow for our session again. Peace and love. African father in America. Tujikaze, tujikaze, jikaze. Tujikaze, tujikaze, jikaze. Africa, tujikaze, tujikaze, jikaze. America, tujikaze, tujikaze, jikaze.
You are listening to African Father in America podcast by Simon Javanokelo, live from Seattle, Washington, USA.